Welcome to episode 3 of Conclave Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Casey, and I am joined by my other co-hosts.
Hi, my name is Greg. I have a beard.
Hey, I'm Clannic. We're just glad to be here.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm guys. Actually,
he also has a beard.
I also have
he
a
doesn't.
Beard.
He doesn't.
Not it's full and amazing like Greg's.
No, I can see
he's
his.
Just a little more under control.
I can still see his face under it.
Yeah, I can see
I also.
Wait a second.
I also have a beard.
Well.
You can just see through it.
Okay.
Because it's thin.
Yeah.
Because I am a strapping young lad.
That's right, you are.
But I'm a young adult. And adulting is hard.
It's kind of like the worst sometimes. I mean, yeah. it's the best.
Don't you
and
hate?
And it's sometimes the worst.
It's better than
when
some
you
of
have
the options.
To spend your own money on like things like school. Ugh.
How about when you have to spend your own money on your job?
What?
Yeah, then you don't even get like a degree out of it.
You spend money on your job?
Yep.
Interesting. You know, that's the worst part about. Like paying for school. So you pay tuition and all the fees and whatnot. And then you get to class. And then they give you a supplies list, which is probably worth, you know, $150 or so.
Yep.
For the class after you paid for the class.
Yep.
Like, man, cut me a break or something.
Not a chance.
There's no break cutting with the college.
If we cut you breaks, then they wouldn't be able to pay me the big bucks.
Oh. I didn't know they paid
well,
you
then
a big
include
bucks.
It in
they
the
don't.
Fee and give us our stuff. You know? Or, well, no, it'd probably just make my bill look bigger, so they... I don't know. It's interesting. How's y'all's week been?
This week flies by. I mean, it has flown by, so...
Really has.
Yeah, I mean...
I feel like we just recorded, if I'm being honest.
We really did. But it's been a great week. Gregory, how's your week been?
I've been getting in fist fights with the devil.
Yeah.
It's been a rough week.
I hate the devil.
That darn devil.
I gotta put him in his place sometimes, and it's not necessarily the most fun activity.
I believe that.
Hey, life is going great. What's that sound on the car? Why's the car making that noise? Oh, man. I mean, it happens every time. You know,
actually,
it's like,
mm-hmm. It was more...
Especially...
Oh, I'm so glad that we made it all the way to Bible study and didn't have any problems, and now I'm heading back from... Why am I suddenly going 60? Why am I suddenly going 50? Why am I suddenly going 40 on the interstate? Oh no, 30 on the interstate!
Ah! What was that sound?
And you're in, and this is in the white van of Greg's, which it looks a little suspect. I mean, you know,
if it had free candy on it, I would get arrested.
I mean, yeah. Am I surprised it broke down? No.
No.
But I feel bad for him.
Actually, the thing is relatively stable and quite reliable, other than.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore.
This is an unmarked white van.
I am embarrassed to say that I had some trouble paying for gas lately.
Yep.
I had that great moment where I was counting $10 in change to the lady at the cashier to get to school on time. And I did.
Well, there you go.
And I did. And I had enough gas until I got paid. And I think I was really proud of myself, if I'm being totally honest, that I had $10 in change.
This segment is brought to you by Lisa Johnson Financial Peace University. Casey Hall is about to be a member of. Trust
yep.
me.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, it's time, buddy.
So,
it's time.
Speaking of being
but that's
proud.
Also my fault. I can't really just say.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Too much food.
Yeah. It gets
yes.
a lot of us. It gets a lot of us. The food does.
The stomach is a beast you have to tame.
Yes, yeah. I ate at an all you can eat buffet with some of the fellas from work last week, I believe it was, and this is no exaggeration. I had to repent, and I'm not trying to be spiritual. I told the Lord, I said, God, I am so sorry I did that. I will never do that again. Now that probably was a lie, because
you're going to do it again.
Probably, but I really am, and we frequent this place semi often. And it's fantastic, but like, I hurt. I mean, seriously, until the next day, like I felt like I had
yeah.
just eaten the entire day, and I thought yeah. that's no way. I don't need to do that to myself anymore. So
is there the Chinese
but then,
one over there?
But no, this is a place outside of Birmingham. It's just like a meat and three place. out of this world good. I mean, it's just, I cannot describe
it. But after you hurt, you feel regular again. Then 30 minutes later, you're starving, so you're like, time to go.
No, no, not me. No, no.
No?
I kid you not.
That's me.
I was full that was a lunch. I was full until the next day of breakfast. Or maybe lunch. And and y'all know me, I don't skip meals. And I'm telling you, I'm just saying, I get it. Yeah. You know, that's my bugaboo too.
Yeah.
So, but it's adulting.
So I saw somebody, speaking of gas and not having enough money, I saw somebody the other day at the gas station, and they were walking around asking people for money, and they were trying to sell this $5 gift card to Lowe's to get $5 in gas. Like,
interesting.
You know this.
Would you like to spend $5 at Lowe's?
Right. And you always look at that person, you're like, okay, I'm pretty sure that that's not a valid gift card, and you're just trying to get somebody to pay for gas.
Of course.
Right? You know, right. That's where your mind wants to go.
The accusations and the judgments right. and whatnot.
I saw this person that was across from them was like, hey, dude, I'll give you $5 in gas, because he already had his, like, thing in his car. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And so he starts filling it up, and I'm sitting there watching this, and, like, he doesn't just stop at $5. Like, he's sitting there filling up.
He keeps going,
and And the guy's like,
I've had miracles like that happen to me.
This is more than $5 in gas. And the guy goes, well, God told me to fill up your tank. And he literally sat there and filled up this random gas tank.
Awesome.
It was pretty awesome. Like, I was like, you go, God. So, even when you don't have money for gas, there is a chance.
There's always a chance. So I've been blessed like that. So what? You're telling me there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Well, anyway, you know what else is hard in adulting? Trying to figure out what career you want to get into.
Yep.
I still don't know. Luckily, I have a little bit of time left to figure that out.
Is it true that the average person changes their major like 3 times? That used to be the average. I don't know if that's still the average.
I think the average is like you change your major 3 times and you change your career like 5.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's been there.
Well, because there's a lot of people that change it once or twice.
Right.
And then there's a good number of people that change it 3 times, but then there's a lot of people that change it like 20 times.
Once or twice, maybe 3 times, I understand. But like, I don't know. I'm afraid of... And I'm pretty sure that's reality too, is, you know... I probably won't use my degree for what one of my first careers will be.
I think a lot of people don't use their degree for their career.
That stinks. And I haven't changed my major. I just went from double major to concentrating on one of them. As of right now.
Nothing wrong with that?
No. I feel confident enough in it. Also because they don't have any production degrees in my school.
Your school is... still overcoming some technological
a little limited
hurdles. Yeah,
but that's fine enough. I'm having fun
but that's part of life, is finding out, hey, what am I really gonna do, what am I really gonna major in, what am I really gonna then what am I gonna do with this degree,
right?
And
then where am I gonna get this job, and,
right,
and you know
what do I love doing, and how can I make what I do every day to get paid.
And then not only are you learning how to do this job to find a job, you also have to have a job while you do all this.
It is helpful.
And fast food stinks.
Both,
but it's necessary.
Literally and as a career
path. That's true. Yeah, both literally,
like,
and... Yeah.
There are so many times I left food retail and I stank.
I was
like,
immune.
I was like, I don't even cook bad food.
I was immune to the smell of chicken.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not... I mean, I probably named it before. I'm not going to name the company I did work for.
Yeah.
But whoo, chicken.
Yeah.
I think I eat fried chicken almost every night.
Because you probably got it free or
absolutely
reduced price. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when I had a lot of money, because I
wasn't spending
money
on finger.
Food. I just got food. That was the plus.
Yeah. Here's a pro tip. I can solve a lot of your financial woes with food right now. It's the worst, and I'm not very good at it either. But you can go to what's called the grocery store, and you can buy bread and sandwich meat and chips for like a whole week. And even mix it up, get a salad or two, microwavable, and you're going to be out, what, $20? To keep it at your place of employment that you're at every day, then brown bag it. And then the other bonus of that is you have a little more time to like chillax. which is what I really enjoy doing, because if when I bring
it...
He just said chillax. Then you can chill, and then you're like, oh, man, I already ate, and I still have 45 minutes where I can mess around on Hulu or
sleep.
Or sleep. Exactly. So just that, and I'll go through spells where I'll go one or two weeks and never eat out. And I'm like, man, why am I doing this all the time? And then I'll go another week, and I eat out every day.
Yeah.
And then I get the text message from the person I'm married to, and she'll say, what are you doing? You have got to stop this. You're spending too much money eating out. So, yeah, it's all part of adulting.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Which is what we're at right now, right? So this is...
We are talking about adulting.
Another session of adulting.
Ba-dum-bum-boom. That was our song.
Oh, I like that song.
Thank you. It was a circus song.
What kind of weird circus did you go to as a kid?
Just don't worry about it. It's not here anymore.
Rip B&B.
Well, speaking of jobs, have you ever been burned out on a job? Like, where the factors, like, all led to, like, burnout?
Sure. You know, I think probably a lot of us have had those jobs where you get really excited about having it at first, and then it becomes monotonous and becomes the same old, same old. And you're thinking, this is terrible. You know, the
6 months or a year after, you're like, woohoo, gung ho. And then you're like, I hate getting up and going to this job. I need a new job.
Do you think that's like due to the job itself, or like, and how much you think you could be like attributed to your experiences and stuff? Like, do you think that's due to the job, or probably your...
I think there's definitely been some times in my life where it was due to the job. But the large majority is due to this guy right here.
Right.
Who has two thumbs and usually makes himself burn out. This guy.
Yeah. Every once in a while it can be the job, but then there are some days where I just feel, to put it basically, lazy. And then I'm thinking, this job sucks, even though I'm not really... It's fine.
Or I'm like, this job doesn't complete me. This job is supposed to please me.
This isn't my identity. Yeah. This is, you know, I'm not getting paid enough for what I do. I'm not appreciated. It's boring. I hate dealing with the public. I mean, we can come up with a lot of things. You know, I hate my boss. I hate the people that I work with.
One thing,
you know, there's so many reasons.
One thing I've struggled with certain jobs and even school is like, I hate the routine. I hate like the same boring old routine of going in, doing the same thing, and then like leaving, you know, and that being like my day. Hated it. Like, I wanted it to be a little more interesting, but the most interesting thing in fast food is the customers, which can be interesting. Other than that, it's just kind of the same.
Anyone that's dealt with the public for a job, you know, the public can be good sometimes, and when you get someone good, you really appreciate them, because most of the time, a lot of them are just the worst.
I saw a lot of opinions, like, I think that people believe that, like, everyone should have some kind of food-related job at least a year.
Work in retail.
Retail, or food.
That's correct.
At one point, I felt like the draft should involve 2 years of military service, 2 years of retail customer service, and 2 years of food service.
Yes.
And like, once you completed all three of those, you have done enough to have an appropriate respect for... Like, you can't be a citizen unless you've done these three things. Let's, you know.
Oh, you cross your legally? Check. You know the national anthem? Check. Oh, you didn't work at KFC. Oh, we're sorry.
Sorry.
Bum, bum, ba-dum. Yeah. You've never been cussed out at your job by the public for something irrational? Oh man, Canada's next stop for you, buddy. Yeah. So it's something you learn, yeah. But I think we all experience the burnout, or have experienced burnout for sure.
Oh, yeah. I think if you've been working any length of time, you have experienced some level of burnout with your job.
Like, I know last week we were basically digging a hole for 2 full days, and, well, that was burnout.
Yeah.
Was that literal burnout?
That was like the job itself, exhaustion burnout.
Like,
plop on the couch.
And sometimes you can have burnout even if you're working a job that you absolutely love. And maybe we can talk about that another point. But just because you have burnout doesn't mean you have a bad job. It just means, you know, there might be other things going on and you're just fried. you know, and so
for whatever reason you are tired of that job, even if it's a great job,
it's a great job
with great benefits,
or and maybe just be a season of life that you're burnt out, and then you you stick it through, and then you realize, wow, I'm glad that I did that. I was just going through a period where I maybe needed a Sabbath or two, or I just need a vacation.
That's true. I've had some seasons, or a season, really.
Sure.
Yeah.
But see, oftentimes with me, the reason that I burn out on a lot of my jobs is that I have this cycle that I go through where I'm working really hard and then I get lazy and then I'm working really hard. Like, I've got this cycle of things that I enjoy doing and it should be refreshing for me.
Right.
But I don't give myself the ability to, like you said, relax or take a break and do other stuff. Or, you know, I don't break my cycle, and so I just get in this repetitive cycle of draining myself dry.
Well, like, and what I was thinking about was people that have jobs that would seem very meaningless and
like just has insignificant value and stuff.
Like, I am a toilet scrubber. Ooh. All right. Or you know, I clean facilities, or I mop, and you just think, man, this is like the low of the low.
Or I tenderize the raw chicken.
Right, correct. Yeah. So how does serving Christ make it possible for cleaning a toilet to matter? Like, why is this something that's seemingly insignificant important in the kingdom of God? Greg Dye, what do you think?
Well, so I actually will reference Radio Free Babylon, which is a media company. They put out this comic called Coffee with Jesus. And one of my favorite comics that they put out with Coffee with Jesus, you know, it shows Jesus sitting around a table having coffee with people. Mm-hmm. And they'll ask him questions that you would think you would ask Jesus if he was just sitting at a table with you and your friends. And one day they were talking, these characters in the comic were talking about, like, popular music singers. And so they're talking about, you know, Hillsong or Elevation or blah, blah, blah. And so one of them says, you know, who's your favorite singer, Jesus? And Jesus says, Ming Chow, or some name. And they say, who's that? We've never heard of him. And he says, it's this woman that when she is in the rice paddies of China, she goes through and she's always singing praise and worship songs. Like, she is the best singer ever. And they go, no, Jesus, you're supposed to pick somebody popular, somebody that's well known. And the last comic tile is Jesus saying, oh, she's really well known from where I'm from. And you're like, okay, see, that's the point. We take for granted that little small tasks here don't mean much because nobody recognizes them.
Right.
But there's a God in heaven who sees all of those and how that cleaning a toilet might impact people. So if you clean a toilet, especially for a church, you know, people come in that church and they see, hey, this place is so clean. And that's their first reflection on the church. Or if you clean for your boss and he's not a believer, and he goes, wow, you know, they take such pride in cleaning the toilet, and they ask you one day, and you're like, well, I'm doing it for Jesus, not for you. You know, we have those little ways of showing the gospel in our actions.
Right, and a lot of details really do add up.
Yeah.
When I thought about, like, thinking of, like, you know, how Jesus washing his disciples' feet, you know, serving, being a servant to the Lord as we should be. And I think in the little insignificant jobs like that are a perfect example of, you know, being at the level of a servant, of doing things for others, even in the small details that they might not even...
That nobody might think is important, but...
They won't notice until something goes wrong, you know?
Well, listen to what Colossians 3:23, this is a verse that a lot of us know. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as though you are working for the Lord and not for human beings. Remember that the Lord will give you as a reward what he has kept for his people. For Christ is the real master that you serve. And that's a verse that when I've gone through seasons of careers that maybe was not ideal for me, I would remind myself of that you know what, I'm not working for this boss who I don't necessarily agree with. I'm working for a company that I may not necessarily agree with, and I may not get fulfillment from it, but I'm not working for them. He may be the one that signs the checks, but it is the Lord that provides the money for that check. I'm not working for the man. I'm serving the man. And so that's something, and that's not something that I can read at once. And it wasn't for me, at least, where I read that and I thought, and then the light bulb went off and that was it. But I had to almost die daily to it. I'm not trying to be spiritual, super spiritual about it, but it was just where I was at for several years, where I had to just say, no, I'm not working for him, really. I'm not working for this company. I'm working for the Lord. And so sometimes you just have to remember that's kind of the deal.
I wonder if the bank would void your paycheck if you got your paycheck and you, like, stamped the Lord on top of it.
The Lord Bank and Trust.
Well, you know, like, because it has the from company the that it's, uh-huh. like, from. And so instead of it being from, you know, ABC Towing and Company, uh-huh. you literally get a little stamp made that says the Lord, and you stamp that over ABC With the Towing.
Perfect squiggles and everything.
Well, because, you know, it what they care about is the routing number and the bank account number. They don't care so much about
the Lord.
The
Lord gave me this money.
This was the Lord's money. You just happen to be the one that wrote the check.
Mm-hmm. But it's hard to remember that you know, you're doing this for the Lord, especially when you're feeling burnout too, you know?
Yeah.
Well, in our jobs, our careers, whatever, what have you, no matter if it's while you're in college or you've already graduated and you're in a full career, mm-hmm. our jobs serve different purposes. They're tools that we use for the kingdom of God. And you know, it's to praise God. You know, so I should do everything. I should do my job with excellence, because that can point back again, Colossians 3:23. And so my job should be a tool to praise God. So people should say, "Wow, you know, he really does it with excellence. She really has such a great attitude." I hate my job. What is different? We're doing the same thing. Well, you know, well, he's a follower of Jesus. She's a Christian, and so God commands us to work. We are to work. He worked, so we should be like him, so we should work. So my me just doing that is praise to God. Something that I want to ask y'all about is one of the ways that our job is a tool for is to prune us. A lot of you may have been familiar with pruning branches, pruning, you know.
Bonsai tree,
the rose bushes or whatever.
Yep.
How is your career a tool to prune us spiritually?
Casey Hall.
Whoa! I, first of all, I need you to define prune.
Prune, like with shears.
Or
yeah, it's to cut off, it's to remove, to.
Gotcha.
I'll give you a little hint here as to promote further growth. Sometimes,
gotcha.
Sometimes when I have to prune at my house, it's stuff off of. For instance, 6 months ago, we had lots of trees in my front yard pruned back because it had grown so much that it was. It was prohibiting growth from other plants, and it wasn't doing good, so we had to cut it. And so for a while, it looked very bare, but then ultimately, you go to my house now, and wow, it's really bloomed.
Healthier than it was then.
Sometimes God may prune us from things through our careers. Like my example, while you're thinking, my example is in my former career, I was cussed out regularly for things that was not under my control. And that was a pruning thing where God taught me more grace and more mercy, and he reminded me that the tongue is an unruly member. And so that was something that the Lord, because there was many times where maybe I didn't respond how I should have, and so that was a pruning process so that now I'm in a different place and I can learn from that because God pruned some of those things off of me during a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, since I keep talking about fast food, you know, one of the things that you mentioned, you know, a lot of the people are the worst.
Yes.
And there's a lot of reason, you know, to get, you know, overly mad at things like that.
Yeah.
Who just, you know, don't get enough barbecue sauce or something. And not only that, but then you have all these other coworkers that will get overly mad at that, like, along with you, or they'll persuade you to get like that.
Right.
And it's just, it's you know, it feeds off each other. So, you know.
So in a situation like that, rid of your anger. He's pruning back your anger.
Right.
But he's allowing you to grow as a witness.
Absolutely.
And he's allowing you to hold back.
To know how to handle those situations as we should, as a follower of Christ, as a servant, instead of just someone who's working for the paycheck.
Speaking of the paycheck, so it's also used to provide, obviously.
Absolutely.
So we appreciate that. It provides a income that we need. It provides maybe a sense of purpose. You know, right. It gives us a reason to get up sometimes. Hey, you know, without a job sometimes or a career, you know, it doesn't give us much. I mean, we should have more reason, but it does. It gives us a sense of purpose. And then finally, your career is a tool to use to promote the gospel. You know, so we think, well, I only promote the gospel when I'm at church or if I'm at Bible study. But no, right. You know, this is a phrase that I've shared with people before, and it's kind of been I've tried to let it be my mantra, not always successful, mm-hmm. and that is bloom where you are planted.
Yeah.
You know, no matter where I am, no matter if I'm at church or I'm at the job, and it's, you know, everyone there does not believe anything close to what I believe, I should bloom where I'm planted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's an opportunity that the Lord has given you to be in a place that maybe no one else can reach those people. And I mean, that's a golden opportunity that we just flushed down the toilet because we're so concerned about how bad our job is, how much we hate our boss. And yet God's like, look at the harvest. It is ripe mm-hmm. and beautiful and plentiful. And you're just sitting there watching Hulu, complaining about your job during your lunch break.
Well, and you know, that relates back to 1 Peter 2:9 through 10. You know, he doesn't call us to just be a worker. And 1 Peter 2:9-10 says what he called us to be. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So every day we go in, we're given the opportunity to show them, to show our coworkers and the people that we're working for and the people that we're serving, you know, customers, I'm a priest. I'm called to be.
And what a responsibility
holy
that
and
is.
Different and yeah. righteous, and I'm going to fall short, but that's my calling, is to be that high bar. And that is a responsibility, but it's also a joy that we get to be a part of. And so I think that sets the bar.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I there's always the idea of, like, using your career. Like, one of my concentrations was graphic design, so mm-hmm. I do a lot of design for
And you
complex.
Do a great job.
Oh, thank you.
You
I appreciate that. Yeah. I did that, some social media, but, like, I think that's a good example of how you can use your job to promote
absolutely
spiritual growth
mm-hmm.
and you know, I would say religion in general.
Right.
But and I'll work on that at school too, somewhere that isn't really known for its spiritual growth, might I say, but I'll work on those kind of projects, you know, in front of people, and I'll even ask for their opinion and stuff.
Well, and in a way, school is work.
It is. I mean,
that's something
yes,
that we
yeah.
tell our and something that, I tell that, my kids a, is you're not working right now. My job is to work and make money and all mm-hmm. that. So your job is to go to school and make good grades. And so
and even yeah. there, you it'll prune you.
Sure.
Yeah. And, yeah. All of these so, things apply and, yeah, as much in the process
really.
Of working for scholastic achievement. That's going to be working in your career.
Mm-hmm. Well, Greg, something that Casey and I did earlier today was we got on the social media. We got on the Twitter, which, by the way, we have a Twitter account.
Twitter.
You can. We are Radio Conclave. I think yeah. you could probably find us by Conclave Radio, but our Twitter handle is actually at Radio Conclave. So look for us there. But we did a little searching, a little search mm-hmm. bar on the Twitter machine, and we searched for... we just typed in adulting, and we looked for all the different posts in just a second. So we decided, hey, let's look up on social media just the term adulting, and let's see what everyone else out in the Twitter universe is saying about adulting. I have found some real gems. I know you guys have.
These are pretty good.
Here's one of the first ones I have found, and this is by Derek. Thanks, uh-huh. Derek. Adulting has been a good experience, but I'd like to withdraw from the program now.
Yeah. I found this whole page called, it's just at adult probs, and it's full of them. I wish adulting came with a manual. Oh, that one didn't get many laughs. This
I put rice in the rice maker to go with the rest of my dinner, and then I got tired, and I didn't want to make everything else. So now rice is what's for dinner. # adulting.
I just want to lay in a pile of warm laundry and eat bread.
You ever just really want to complain but don't even have the energy to get it all out? That's adulting.
That really is. You know, the one that that hit me when you said that about I just want to lay in a pile of laundry, I saw one that said, it's sad when I have to put a reminder on my phone that said, hey, your clothes are dry. Fold them now because you won't get back around to it. Hashtag adulting.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Preach.
We've had like 4 baskets of laundry at a time, like unfolded, you know? And then we have what we call clothes folding parties. Is what what they like to call them.
This is at your house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's one. Me. I think my life is finally on track. Life. Rerouting.
So, this one is, I've seen it before, by the time you hit 25, by the time you hit 30, you know, change the age to whatever you want, but by the age 30, you should have first, $10 in your bank account. Second, a bad relationship story. 3, anxiety problems. And 4, back pain.
Yes.
Hashtag adulting.
I'm 26, yeah. I'm an adult now. I don't like it. I was tricked. My mom told me, quote, when you're old, you can do whatever you want to do. That's not true. You can do whatever you can afford to do. That's different.
Hashtag adulting. I was just saying, adulting is only fun when you have money. Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody understands about... I just saw someone, they said, I guarantee this upcoming season there will be a television show named Adulting.
Oh, yeah.
Direct deposit hits at 12:01 a.m., pays bills at 11 a.m. Well, that was fun. Let's wait 2 more weeks.
Yeah. I saw the one. You may have won at hashtag adulting when you set up all your bills on auto pay. You wake up the morning after your paycheck and you realize... Well, bills are paid, but I don't have any money for ramen.
Yeah.
For ramen.
Yeah.
You know, I don't eat as much ramen as I thought I would, and that's probably because I commute.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
I ate a lot of ramen when I was in the late stages of college.
Never had ramen.
Really?
What?
Never had ramen.
Oh, this is sad.
We can have a ramen night.
It's a texture for me, and I like pasta noodles, but the thought of it almost make one.
You can make ramen really good if you
know there are good ramen noodles. Like, not just instant ramen.
Put the scrambled eggs and stuff in there.
That sounds good.
Yeah, with the peas and whatnot. That makes it. You can make them good.
Okay. I'm in.
Hello, I'd like to cancel my subscription to adulting.
Yes.
Those are good. Oh, you guys put your phones up.
That was a good one.
That was the best one that we could possibly
Thanks.
Find. Casey, well, you won hashtag adulting.
That's right. You win round one, Casey Hall.
That's right. Next week, let's see who can stand up against the champion next week.
Because session 3 next week, we're going to be talking about his singleness. All the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies.
Now put your hands up.
Maybe we should have a single lady in here next week because there's 2 married dudes and 1 single guy in here. And you have like a ball and chain already, so maybe we should have a single lady.
That's the thing.
You're still single. If you're not married, you're technically single.
We'll get into it next week before I ask too many questions.
I mean, I don't mean that in the loose term, like where you can still go mingle. But
hashtag single mingle. Oh. Clint told me if I wasn't married, it was okay.
But you in conclave tonight that if I'm not married, I can cheat on you because we're not married. That is not what I said.
I'm
and you heard
I'm
it here.
Doing
it's on
this
record.
For us.
Wow.
Casey Hall, how can people find us? Are we there?
No, not yet.
Oh, we're not. Oh, we got to do the deeper walk. So last week we talked about some ways that you can, kind of take the challenge of some things that we talked about our career. So there are some deeper walks, some personal actions that you can do. What are some of those things?
Well, you can make one small change at work. Maybe go the extra mile on like a small project or something like that. Like, or maybe you could like say hello to a coworker or like take the initiative to throw away the trash instead of like making the facilities people do it. You can recount how small daily actions can help shift your attitude, and you know, maybe you won't be as burnt out, or you know, you'll have a different attitude overall about your job.
And you know, Clint, I could choose to find an older mentor such as yourself.
Yes, because I'm much older.
Because you're so much older than I am.
Right. Strapping
and I could ask
man.
Them about their career journey, And I could say, hey, did you always enjoy your job?
No.
What have you learned? How could I adjust my attitude?
I can help.
So that I can persevere through those difficult seasons. Sure. And what do I need to do to serve the Lord in my work?
And he'll help you for $10 an hour.
Exactly.
He's cheaper than Miss Cleo.
That's call him in now, friends. I love Miss Cleo. Share with a close friend or a group of friends about your current attitude towards your work. So maybe find somebody that you can be transparent with and say, hey, I don't always look at my job or my career in the best of light. I'm trying to change my attitude. Maybe have a course correction on that and discuss some ways that your unique job can bring glory to God.
Although, disclaimer, if you're friends with your boss, don't make your boss part of that small group.
Don't do that. Uh-oh.
I think I've already done that, actually.
Yeah. We could even write down for 1 Peter 2:9
and remind ourselves. Look, index cards are the best way to memorize. I'm going to go ahead
hashtag
and say it again.
Adulting flashcards.
Adulting flashcards. That sounds so good. Ooh. I like that, yeah, Greg.
This week, maybe you can memorize, 1 Peter 2:9.
What does it say?
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
And every time you look at that little 3x5, you'll remember your true identity and the freedom that you have to walk in that higher purpose.
Right, because we talked about the different ways that your job is a tool for, and for different, for providing and praising God and promoting the gospel. One of the things that it is not a tool for is your identity. So I am more than just the thing that I do. I mean, it's a calling. I love my career, but, the doctor is more than just a doctor. The lawyer is more than just a lawyer. The graphic design artist is more than that. We are just Greg. We are Casey. We are Clint.
I'm an individual.
No, my pastor begins and ends with being a pastor.
Oh yeah,
that is all he is.
So I was trying to follow up. There's a cool website that all of you can go to. It is really awesome. It talks about it. Kind of, I know we're wrapping things up, but you got to go to it. It's called howmanyofme.com. It's an amazing thing. You can
howmanyofme.com,
and you can type in your first and last name, and you can see, according to the U.S. Census, how many there are of you in the United States. So my first name is actually Michael, so it's not Clint. So there are 30,000 of me, of Clint,
is that
of Michael Johnson.
Is that a lot?
That's a lot. Well,
so 30,000 is a pretty big number.
I have a coworker who there was I had one coworker who there was about 21.
Wow.
A coworker whose spouse, there were two of them.
Really?
In the entire United States.
And wow. I have another, who I would call my boss, his wife, she is the only person in the United States, because of how she spells her name, person in the United States with that first and last name. And so I think it just reinforces our identity, that God, he made us special. He made us more than just what we do.
Right.
Now, my identity is found in Christ. That's who I am. I am his child. So whether job is good, job is bad, I am his child.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pray about it. Ask God, to give you a renewed sense of your identity as his child. God, remind me about who I really am in your eyes. That you don't see Clint the minister, you see just Clint. You see more than just Greg, all the things that Greg does. The rocket scientist.
Was like, oh, I forgot what jobs Greg has anymore. Right now.
Greg, the rocket scientist, or Casey. So we just need to remember that.
Or if you want to, for a deeper study on working in excellence, and you can read about the diligent work in Proverbs. Like Proverbs 12 through 14 has a lot of good stuff. Some of the best ones to point out is Proverbs 12, 11 and 14, 12, 24, 13, 4, and even 14, 23.
Excellent. And then so if you follow us now on Twitter, or if you follow Conclave on Facebook, which Casey will talk about, maybe it'd be a good tweet at us on Twitter and tell us about the adulting life for you, so we can kind of relate.
Yes.
We'll retweet you. We'll give you a retweet.
We'll read your tweets on the podcast. If you you can get a shout out.
That
from
would
there.
Be amazing.
Or you can even email us at conclaveradio@gmail.com.
That's right.
But absolutely. Casey, if they can't tweet us and they can't email us, how can they just follow us?
I will let you know. So, if you possibly happen to be in the metropolitan Birmingham area of Alabama, you can come join us for Conclave College and Career Ministry at Metropolitan Church of God. We meet every Sunday at 6. We always have free food. and a great lesson, or you can come join us at Metropolitan Worship. Church of God. ASN word, I'm sorry.
You can join us for Conclave U.
You can join us at Conclave U every Wednesday at 6:30, where we are actually discussing the adulting series. It's where the podcast kind of gets a lot of its topics and whatnot. But if you can't, you can always come to Metropolitan Church of God every Sunday morning to listen to Jason Browning preach the fire
and the word.
Hallelujah.
We're trying to be healed right now.
But if you can't, that's okay. You can follow. We're all over social media. Conclave Radio finally got a Twitter, like we mentioned earlier. Please tweet us your adulting problems or situations or fun stories. We may even read it on the podcast. You can email us at conclaveradio@gmail.com. We're on Instagram at Conclave Radio, I think.
I think it's at Conclave Radio.
Conclave Radio. And I don't post much, but you'll see us.
You can also search Conclave Metro. That's the other Instagram. That,
yep. You can search Conclave Metro. That's the actual College and Career Ministries social media. And that one's all over social media.
Yep.
Twitter, Instagram, even YouTube, Facebook.
Yeah. Yep.
And
then you can listen on Spotify.
You can listen to Conclave Radio. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're now on Google Play Podcasts. So more to come. So, you know, you don't have an excuse not to listen to us.
Although maybe at some point we will have.
If you need adulting tips, please contact us, and we'll probably answer them.
That's right.
We'll do our best.
So we'll see everyone next week. That season
when we talk about
singleness,
being a single, not married person
on season 3, episode 4
of
Conclave Radio.